So I've given this talk several times, so I wasn't sure, should I do it again, or is it boring for people? And then I thought, well, we have made lots of progress since last year, and so maybe I would just give a 30-minute update, or maybe 20 minutes, and then I leave time for some questions. And it was actually fun. So when I updated my slides, I looked at the future slide from last year, and actually I can report that all of those things which I promised are done, and they're going to be many. It's actually there are some cool devices which are being supported, but there are still some issues, unfortunately. I'm very unhappy about those, but I will come to that soon. So just maybe I can just ask briefly. So how many of you have been here? How many of you have seen my talk last year or the year before? So for most of you, it's actually new. Yes? Okay. But then maybe I would just go into some more detail. So what is a NAS device, a network attached storage device? So basically, for most people, it's just a external hard drive on you know, a big hard drive on steroids. But for geeks, if you look at it, it's actually a full machine. It has a CPU, it has memory, it has a hard drive. So it basically has everything you need in order to run Debian. I got curious about NAS devices a few years ago because with an access point, which were very cheap, which were very popular, you can't really put Debian on it because they usually only have 4 megabyte flash or 8 megabyte flash, and they don't have any internal storage. So you can run something like OpenWRT, but not Debian. But then those NAS devices came out, and they had internal storage. And so I thought, you know, why don't we install Debian on those devices? So essentially, a NAS device is power efficient. They're usually pretty quiet, and most of them, or some of them, are very cheap, which really makes them a nice server for home. A small server, it's not high-end or anything. But you can store your files and do a number of other things. And I'm always amazed what ideas people have and what they come up with. I'm going to review two devices which have been supported for quite a while, which have been supported in Edge and which are still going to be supported in Veni. The very popular one is the Slug. So the Linksys NSLU2. It's very popular, especially because it's so cheap. You don't have to think, you just buy it and then you do something with it, because it's under 100 euro. It's, I don't know, something like 80 euro. It only has 32 megabyte memory, and it has no internal hard drive. So you can either connect a USB disk or a flash stick, which again is attractive for a number of people. So the advantage is it's very cheap. It's very quiet. It doesn't have a fan. So if you connect a flash drive instead of a hard drive, it doesn't make any noise. And the other really cool thing about that device is that the firmware, so what's stored in the 8 megabyte flash, can be upgraded via the network. So when you start the Slug, and you press some special buttons, it will go into upgrade mode, and then on Linux or Windows, you can run a program which will send the flash file, and it will upgrade it. And that's very useful because those machines, they don't have any VGA or any other output devices where if you boot it and it doesn't boot, then you could see what's going on. And so sometimes people say, well, I installed Debian, it works, and then suddenly one day it didn't boot anymore, or maybe I upgraded my kernel and now it doesn't boot. And for us it's very hard to say, you know, why doesn't it boot anymore? I can only try try it, and then if it works for me, well, it works for me. I don't know why yours doesn't food. But so, given that you can flash something via the network, you just put it in upgrade mode, and you can flash either the Debian installer or a different image which is known to work. So you have some rescue mechanism in case something goes wrong. And another advantage is that, like I said, it doesn't have any internal storage. It can only, people can run it from flash only if they want to. One disadvantage is that the Ethernet requires a proprietary microcode. In reality, it's not a big deal because we simply take the Debian installer images from Debian, which don't contain that microcode, repack it with the microcode and make it available somewhere on Slug firmware. But obviously, it would be nice if that would be integrated, but that depends on, I guess, an upcoming vote about what we think, how we should handle microcode and other firmware. Another disadvantage is obviously with such a slow CPU, 266 megahertz and 32 megabyte memory, well, you can't expect, you know, miracles. It's a quite slow machine, but again, depending on what you do, it might be sufficient. So there are people who have done lots of stuff like measuring like the climate, various really cool things. So as I said, Slug has been supported for a while. Essentially, in my opinion, it's feature complete. It's in maintenance mode. It works. There isn't anything major that's missing. You can install Debian. Like I said, you can get those unofficial images which have the microcode. And maybe just briefly, because there are a number of people who haven't been here before, but the way you install Debian on those devices is very simple. So that's what I like about Debian. So because if you install Gentoo or something else, then they have a long, you know, web page saying, well, first you need to partition the disk, and then you need to put an extended 2 file system on it, and then you have to unpack that, then you have to do, and there are like 20 or 30 or maybe 50 steps, and that's very complicated. And I actually saw that when at one time the installer wasn't working, and I put up a similar page, so how can you manually install Debian? And I got so much email from people saying, well, it didn't work. And it was very hard to say, you know, which step was you know, they had problems with. So with Debian, the way it works is that you get a firmware upgrade. So most of those machines have some way of upgrading the firmware. And so we just ship an image specific for each machine that looks like a firmware upgrade, and then you upgrade to that. And when you reboot, what actually happens is that Debian installer starts. It reads the network configuration values from your machine, brings up the network, and then you can SSH to the installer, and you can install Debian, and it will install Debian to disk. And at the end of the installation, it will write the new kernel and the RAM disk to flash, which will then boot from disk. And so if you reboot after the installation, Debian will start, and you can SSH into the machine. So you don't need to do anything manually. You just use the installer, and it usually works. So in the case of the Slug, that's how it works. So you get that firmware upgrade, you SSH into the machine, and you install Debian. There is support for basically everything, for LEDs, for the beeper, for the Ethernet. There used to be some problems with the Ethernet, but that has been solved a long time ago. Like I said, it's feature complete. Someone recently posted a number of good ideas of how we could improve the installer on devices with so little memory. At the moment, the installation takes quite a bit of time because with only 32 megabytes of memory, it swaps quite a bit. And so someone posted a couple of ideas, like creating an extended free file system, but then mounting it as extended 2, because that takes less memory. So So those are things, improvements we could make to the installer to make it better, make it faster. But again, basically, it's a maintenance mode. The other device which is supported is the Batikas N1100. I'm not going to say very much about it. Again, it works very well, but the device is not being the whole CPU has been end of life, and that device as well. I think you can still buy it, and it's still, I guess, a good choice. So it's pretty fast. One of the really nice things about this device is it uses a standard DDR connector, so you can put in more memory. You can put in up to 512 megabyte memory. It has two Ethernet ports, because most of the other devices only have one. It also has mini PCI, so it has a couple of things which most other devices don't have. The disadvantages is that the ventilation is not great. It gets very hot, although there are some very easy hacks to modify the hardware. It's quite noisy, and it used to be very expensive. I don't know if that has changed. So in terms of Debian support, it works pretty well, but there are some long-standing issues. It's very stable. The Debian build machines for ARM use this machine. There is support for the fan controller, and last year there was no support for LEDs and the beeper, but Rico has implemented that, and that's going to be in Lenny. And there are still some network bugs. So again, when I updated my slides, last year there was a bug with NFS, but that was fixed, but now there is a bug with multicast packages. But I recently talked to the company, and they promised to, or they have sent one of those machines to the developer of that Ethernet driver. So hopefully those issues are going to be solved, and we can release an updated kernel. But the long-term issue is there is no support for DMA, which means that the disks are slow, which, you know, kind of sucks on a device which is used to store data. So Intel came up with some patches, but they weren't well received within the kernel community. There was some fundamental issues about how you should solve that problem. And because that CPU is not being produced anymore, those issues are probably not going to be solved, at least not by Intel. So I provide some unofficial kernel packages which include those kernel patches, and they really speed up the disk performance. Long term, there might be some improvements in terms of DMA, because it's not just specific to this machine. It's really about creating a infrastructure within the kernel. And so someone else might come up with that infrastructure, and then we might be able to improve it on that machine as well. So the new thing which we're going to have in Lenny is support for the Orion system on a chip, which is made by Marvell. So 2 years ago, I said, well, there are all those devices coming out with that CPU, and that really sucks because there is no mainline kernel support. And 1 year ago, I then said, well, actually things have changed, and Marvell has hired a couple of kernel hackers, and they're actually actively working with the community and pushing support into the mainline kernel. So I was really excited about that CPU. And really, if you look at the NAS market at the moment, I think 80% of devices are based on such a CPU. So getting support for that CPU into Debian really enables many devices. So like I said, they hired some people, and with 2.6.25, basic Orion support was added, including Ethernet, SATA. But there were some features that were not supported yet, but it looked very promising that Marvell was working on it, and it was just a matter of, I don't know, weeks or maybe months for those final things to be resolved. And two of those were DMA support. And the other thing is the CPU has a crypto engine. And again, that's not supported. And you might see some kind of pattern here. I was telling people, you know, buy devices with those CPUs because we're going to support it, and it's going to be well supported because Marvell is working on it, and everything is going to be great. And I pitched, you know, that for a long time, and somehow the DMA support simply didn't come. And I was getting frustrated because in the meantime, we made releases of the installer which had support for those devices, so people started buying them. And so they kept asking, so, you know, disk performance is really quite slow, so, you know, when is DMA support coming? And I said, you know, Marvell are really doing a great job. I think it must be very soon. And, well, it's still not here. So I was very frustrated, and I recently contacted Marvell and said, you know, guys, I told people that, you know, you're going to do that, and it's quite frustrating for me. And they actually told me, yeah, I agree. We are, I don't know if I should say that, but they basically agreed and said that that there are still some issues which they need to resolve, and they're really going to work on it. The problem is they only have two people working actively with the open source community, and there are just so many things that need to be done. They released some other CPUs in the meantime, so, you know, there is always more work to be done. But I think the DMA feature is quite substantial for a CPU which is made for storage devices. And like I said, they agree. And so I actually found someone in the meantime who said he would add crypto support. And Marvell now has an engineer working on the DMA side. So hopefully that's really going to be resolved soon. And I'm going to provide an updated kernel on my website. So I thought it was a quick update. So I only asked for 30 minutes, but it seems that was a bad idea. So just briefly, a couple of devices. So the QNAP series of devices, they have the best support. So that's the first device I ported Debian to. The nice thing is that they have a series of devices. So they have some with only one hard drive, one with two hard drives, one with four hard drives. So you can choose, and they have different memory. And the Debian is basically the same, so I think that's very good. So the advantage is the machines are very robust. I think they're very well designed. They're very quiet. The company has been very supportive. So they still need to learn more about open source, but they have been very open, and whenever I have any questions, they work with the engineers to get an answer. And the problem originally was that when those machines shipped, there was no recovery mechanism. So that's what I told you before. The nice thing about the slug is you can just put it into an upgrade mode, and then you can load a firmware via the network. So if something breaks, if the machine doesn't boot, well, you know, you can still recover it without having to connect a serial console to see what the problem is. And that feature was missing on those devices. So I tell QNAP, well, I'm going to port Debian, but you really need to implement that recovery feature, because if something breaks, people are going to be very unhappy if there is no easy way to fix it. And they implemented the feature. So now there is a firmware upgrade which has the recovery mode, which means that when the machine boots, you again press a button and it downloads the file from the network. The disadvantages is that I think the machines are fairly expensive, but that may have changed.
How expensive? We're running around 60 euros for four drive.
Over 200 euros for the single drive.
Yeah, without hard drives, so it is quite expensive, because for other machines, you can get the full machine with a hard drive for like 200 euro. But yeah. So then the HP MV 2120. It's very quiet. The company donated some hardware. Again, it has a recovery mechanism. The disadvantages is that it's not available everywhere. So when I started working on that machine about a year ago, they told me that it would be available in Europe in summer. And then I checked some websites and I couldn't find it. And so recently someone told me that actually in Europe, it has a different name. So it's the MV 5020, which is the same hardware, just with some different software, but you replace that anyway. And well, some, you know, proprietary backup, or I don't know, you know, who cares. So I saw that it's at least available in Italy and the UK, and maybe in other parts of Europe. Again, it's supported, there is nothing to say. And the Cura Box Pro, it's sort of a device aimed at hackers. So it exports I2C and GPIO. The support was added by a Google Summer of Code student. Again, it's supported, it's fairly hacker friendly, but it's not easy to obtain in Europe. And there are a bunch of other, so those are devices which are now going to be supported in Leni. Those three or five devices, depending on how you want to count them. They have very good support, except for DMA. But that would just be, once it's available, the first thing I'm going to do is provide an update on my website. So the future, there are so many devices which are still, which use the same CPU, so it should be fairly straightforward to support them, but someone needs to actually do the work. And there are two devices which I think are going to be added fairly soon. So the first one is the D-Link DNS 323, and the Conceptronic one is actually the same hardware, just a different name. And Matt Palmer in Australia added support. It was too late for Leni, but the patches are available, so once Leni is out, I'm going to integrate them. And I had some discussions with the stable release team that maybe we can add support to the next stable update. And then the Buffalo Link Station, they're very similar to the Cura Box. And one advantage of the Link Station is that they are very cheap. So that's something which we should be looking into. Yes. Yeah, so, like I said, I underestimated the time. I was just going to give a quick update because I thought everyone has seen the talk before. So the future, there are a couple of things we need to do. So someone suggested, well, maybe we should put a rescue system into Flash as well. So if there's a problem booting, then you still have some rescue option. Someone else suggested, well, why don't we put a SSH server into the RAM disk? Because then you could, before the machine actually boots from disk, you could SSH to the RAM disk, and then you could fix stuff or change stuff. And that's also useful because if you want to have an encrypted hard drive with a passphrase, then you somehow need to enter that passphrase. So if you could SSH to the machine when it boots and enter that passphrase, that would be a good idea. Another thing which should be done is, at the moment, you can only install Debian to a hard drive or to a USB flash drive. But there are some devices which have loads of flash, like hardware flash, and we don't support installations to that at the moment. But Ubuntu is now working on an ARM board because of various netbooks, and I think that might be something they're going to implement, and if they do, then we can use that feature as well. And then finally, I mean, there are a couple of new platforms which I think look very interesting. Some of them are quite like storage oriented. Some of them are more generic. And finally, all the devices which I cover are ARM-based. And one reason for that is simply because with those devices, it's very easy. Not only it's very easy, but you can recognize which machine you run on, and then you can customize the installer. So you can really make a very easy to use experience. Whereas with x86, you know, it's you can't customize the installer as much. Although I think it should be done, because nowadays there are many NAS devices based on some x86 hardware and which have flash. So and that's something which isn't supported at the moment. So you can probably install Debian and then somehow manually put the kernel into flash. But that's something we don't support at the moment. And because there are an increasing number of those machines, I think that's something someone might be interested in working on. So that was just a brief update. I know, I'm very sorry, I really thought that people had seen the talk before, and so I thought I would just, you know, go through it very, very quickly. So I don't think there is any time for questions. Yeah, but I would just show my links. So I have documented those things very well on my website. So if you go to my website, it should answer most of your questions. And if it doesn't answer your question, then you can just send me an email. And I'm gonna be outside, so you can talk to me as well.
Thanks very much.